All right, so today we're diving deep into a Supreme Court case that still has a huge impact on how we think about religious freedom in public high schools.
You bet. A case that really set the stage for how student groups, especially those with a religious focus, can operate on campus.
We're talking Board of Education versus Mergence, a case from 1990 that goes straight to the heart of student expression and the whole separation of church and state debate.
Yeah, it's a classic case, one that every law student grapples with, and it really boils down to this. Can students start a religious club at school? Or does that cross the line when it comes to the government not endorsing religion?
Right, and it's not just a theoretical question, right?
No, not at all. This case started with a real student, Bridget Mergence, who went to Westside High School in Nebraska.
And all she wanted was to create a Christian club, you know, a place for students to study the Bible and pray together.
Seems pretty straightforward, right? A group of kids wanting to explore their faith. But her request set off a chain reaction, raising all sorts of legal questions about the First Amendment and what schools can and can't allow.
The school, Westside High, ended up saying, nope, sorry, you can't have your club.
And their reasoning was that allowing a Christian club would basically be like the school endorsing a specific religion, which of course goes against the Establishment Clause.
Right, that whole separation of church and state thing we always hear about.
Exactly. But Mergence and her lawyers fought back, and their argument rested on a really important law, the Equal Access Act.
Okay, the Equal Access Act of 1984. Can you break that down for us a bit? What's it all about?
Sure. So basically, this act says that if a public high school that gets federal money allows any non-curricular clubs to meet, it can't then discriminate against other clubs just because of what they're about.
So if you've got like a chess club or a drama club, which aren't tied to classes, you can't then say no to a religious club or a political club.
Right. You can't pick and choose viewpoints. That's the key. The law is designed to ensure a level playing field for all kinds of student-led groups.
Yeah. So what are the big questions we're tackling today in this deep dive?
Well, first we need to figure out, did Westside High actually break the Equal Access Act by rejecting Mergence Club?
And second, does that act, the very law Mergence was relying on, does it somehow violate the Constitution?
Yeah. Does it step over the line when it comes to the separation of church and state?
Those are the biggies. And to get into all that, we got to understand what was going on at Westside High.
Right. And it's not like they were against all clubs.
No, they had a bunch of student groups meeting after school, right?
Absolutely. Things like a chess club, even a scuba diving club, you know, typical high school stuff.
Things that weren't part of the normal curriculum.
Right. And that's key. They were non-curricular. And Mergence basically said, hey, if those clubs can meet, why not mine?
My Christian club is also about something we're interested in outside of class.
It's student-led. We won't be disruptive. So what's the problem? But the school kept saying, no way. It's a religious club, and we can't be seen as endorsing religion.
Right. They were worried about that Establishment Clause, that they'd be on the wrong side of the Constitution.
Exactly. It really puts the school in a tough spot, trying to balance student rights with their own legal obligations.
So this whole thing ended up in court, obviously. But it didn't go straight to the Supreme Court, did it?
Not right away. It started in district court where the school actually won. The judge agreed they had a valid concern about the Establishment Clause.
But then it went up to a higher court, right, to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right, and they saw it differently. The appeals court reversed the lower court's decision and said, yeah, Westside violated the Equal Access Act.
A split decision. So that usually means the Supreme Court steps in to settle things, right?
Exactly. It lands right in their lap. Now, before we get to what the Supreme Court decided, can we talk a bit more about the Equal Access Act? Why is this law so central to the case?
Yeah, let's dig into that. It's kind of complicated.
Well, think of it like this. The Equal Access Act is saying to public high schools, look, if you want federal funding, and if you choose to have even one non-curricular club, you can't then discriminate based on the club's content.
So it sets up a sort of condition. You can't be selective about which viewpoints are okay and which ones aren't.
You got it. Again, the key here is non-curricular. If a club is directly related to a class, the act might not apply in the same way.
Okay, so that raises a big question. Was Bridget's Christian club really non-curricular under the law?
That's a huge point, and that was something the Supreme Court had to figure out.
But before we get to that, what were the two main legal questions the Supreme Court had to grapple with in this case? What were the big issues at stake?
Okay, so the first question, did Westside's policy of having clubs, those chess and scuba diving clubs, did that even trigger the Equal Access Act in the first place?
Like, did those clubs create what the law calls a limited open forum where students can express themselves?
Right, that's the first hurdle.
And the second question, of course, the big one. Would allowing the Christian club break the Establishment Clause? Would it be like the school promoting religion?
Right, the constitutional question looming over everything.
So what did the Supreme Court decide?
Well, in an 8-1 decision, they sided with Bridget Mergens.
Wow, 8-1, that's a pretty strong majority. So they said the school did have to follow the Equal Access Act, and allowing the Christian club wouldn't violate the Constitution.
Exactly. Justice O'Connor wrote the majority opinion, and she brought up this idea of a limited open forum.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. What did she mean by that?
Basically, she argued that when Westside allowed those non-curricular clubs, they created a space for students to express themselves. And once you've got that space, you can't discriminate against certain viewpoints.
So you can't say yes to scuba diving and no to Bible study.
Right. It becomes a form of viewpoint discrimination, which is a no-no under the Act. It's not about the school endorsing a religion. It's about them being fair and neutral.
Okay, that makes sense. So if a school has a club for, say, people who love collecting stamps, they can't then reject a club for students who want to discuss the Quran.
Right. As long as those clubs are student-run, voluntary, and not part of the school's curriculum, they should be treated equally.
Okay, so the Supreme Court said the Equal Access Act applied in this case. But then they had to tackle that second question. Does the act itself violate the Constitution? This is where the lemon test comes in, right?
You got it.
For those who've never heard of it, can you give us the lemon test in a nutshell?
Sure. The lemon test, which comes from a different Supreme Court case, basically has three parts. First, a law must have a non-religious purpose, a secular purpose. Second, it can't have the main effect of helping or hurting religion. And third, it shouldn't create too much entanglement between government and religion.
Okay, three prongs to keep in mind. So how did the Supreme Court apply the lemon test to the Equal Access Act in this case? Did they go through each part?
They did. Let's start with the first part, the secular purpose. The court said the Equal Access Act is about preventing discrimination against speech, including religious speech. It's not about promoting religion.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward. What about the second prong, the primary effect? This one seems tricky.
Yeah, this is where the school had its biggest worries. They were afraid that a Christian club, even if it's student-run, would look like the school is saying, hey, we approve of this religion.
Right, that it would send the wrong message.
Justice O'Connor addressed this head-on. She basically said that high schoolers are mature enough to understand that a club meeting after school doesn't equal the school endorsing that club's beliefs.
Like, these kids can tell the difference.
Exactly. She pointed out that these clubs are student-run, participation is voluntary, and schools can even put up disclaimers to say, hey, this is not our official view. And it's interesting, right? The court is saying that high school students have the ability to think critically about this stuff.
That they're not just blindly following whatever they see at school.
Right. And the court also pointed to a previous case, Widmar v. Vincent. That case involved religious groups at public universities, and the court there said that allowing those groups to meet didn't mean the university was endorsing their religion. So they used that as precedent to say, look, this has been settled before.
Okay, so what about that third part of the lemon test, the entanglement prong?
Well, the court found that the Equal Access Act actually helps prevent entanglement because it says school faculty can't participate in religious club activities. This creates a separation, a buffer, so you don't have teachers leading prayers or anything like that.
Right. Keeps those boundaries clear.
Exactly. Now, going back to that question of what non-curricular means, the court gives some guidance on that too.
Because that's super important for knowing when the Equal Access Act applies, right?
Absolutely. The court said a club is usually non-curricular if it's not related to classes, doesn't give you school credit, and isn't required for any class.
So, like those examples we talked about before, the scuba club and the Christian club both fit that definition. Because they're totally separate from what the school is teaching in its official courses.
Precisely. And because Westside allowed those other non-curricular clubs, they couldn't discriminate against the Christian club just because of its religious nature.
They'd be playing favorites, which is a no-go under the law.
Right. Now, this wasn't a unanimous decision, of course.
There were some other opinions, right? Some agreements, but for different reasons. And even a dissent.
Yeah, Justice Kennedy agreed with the outcome, but he focused on the idea of coercion.
Like, are students being forced to join a club they don't agree with?
Right. He said, as long as there's no pressure to join, there's probably no establishment clause problem. The voluntary nature of the clubs was key for him.
Makes sense. Any other interesting perspectives?
Justice Marshall also agreed with the outcome, but he stressed that schools need to actively separate themselves from religious clubs to avoid looking like they're endorsing them. Like, they need to go the extra mile to be neutral.
Be extra careful. Don't just allow the club, but make it clear you're not promoting their specific beliefs.
Exactly. But not everyone was on board. Justice Stevens, he dissented, and he was worried that this ruling would force schools to allow all sorts of controversial clubs.
Which he thought might actually blur the lines between church and state. He thought the act should be interpreted more narrowly, maybe only applying to, like, political clubs, not religious ones.
Right. He was worried about potential problems down the line. So you can see, even among the justices, there were some differing views.
So what happened after the Supreme Court made its decision? Did schools across the country have to change things up?
Absolutely. Public high schools that got federal money and had non-curricular clubs had to go back and check their policies. Many had to revise them to make sure they were treating religious clubs the same way they treated other clubs.
So it wasn't enough to just say, okay, fine, you can have your club. They had to actively ensure equal treatment.
Right. But they also had to be super careful not to cross that line into endorsing religion. So they couldn't give money to religious clubs, and teachers couldn't be involved in running them. It was a real balancing act.
A lot to consider for the school administrator.
Oh, for sure. But ultimately, what's the big takeaway from the Mergins case? What should our listeners, especially law students, really remember about it?
Yeah, what's the core principle?
Simply put, if a public high school that's getting federal funds allows non-curricular clubs, it can't discriminate against other clubs based on their religious, political, or philosophical message. That's what the Equal Access Act is all about. And the Mergins case really solidified that.
And even though the Lemon Test, which the court used in this case, has been debated and questioned over the years, it's still a really important tool for analyzing cases related to religion and schools.
No doubt. The Mergins case is foundational for understanding student rights, especially when it comes to religious expression in public schools. It's a case that everyone studying law needs to know inside and out.
Yeah, it's a landmark case for sure. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, but I think it's clear that Board of Education v. Mergins is a really important case for understanding the ongoing tension between freedom of expression, especially religious expression, and the separation of church and state, especially in the school setting.
Absolutely. It's a tension we constantly grapple with as a society.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something I want everyone listening to ponder. The Supreme Court in Mergins tried to strike a balance between free speech rights and the separation of church and state when it comes to student clubs. But how might those same ideas apply to other situations, like student expression online, through social media, or even in the context of other types of identity-based clubs that might raise similar questions about school endorsement or potential division? It's something to really think about. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's been great discussing this case with you.